Okay, Ramban, Parshas Nasa. So the Ramban begins at the beginning of the Parsha with, it's talking about what the Gershuni will carry, the Merari will carry. So in Pasuk Chavzayin it says, Api Aharon Avanav Tia Chalavadas Beneha Gershuni. Chalavadasam. So the Aaron and his sons will decide what the Gershuni will carry and what everybody, all the Levium carry. So the Ramban says, and several of this Ramban and the next two or three, that, and again later on when it says a few psukim later, Vishemos Tifkadu Esklei Mishmeres Masa'am, that is in Pasuk Lamed Beis. So in all of them, Ramban says the same thing, that every Levi, not like the Merari and the Gershunis, were told, okay, you Gershunis, you carry the woven stuff, and you Meraris, you carry the beams and that kind of stuff. It wasn't general like that. It was specific. U'bishemos tifkedu. Everybody got their job. Every single Levi, individually, was given a job. You do this, you do this. And this way, Merari had the heavy loads, right? So the Ramban says, one guy is going to want to say, okay, you do it, you do it. So Aaron, his sons, Moshe was there. The Levium, every individual Levi was given a specific job. And not only that, they couldn't switch jobs. It's not like one Levi could help out the other guy. If like he brings from the Gemara that if one Levi would try to do another Levi's job, it's Chayv Misa. There were the Shorim and the Mishorim and the Shorim, whatever, the singers and the gatekeepers. One guy, if one Levi did the other one's job, it's Chayv Misa. So each individual Levi, every specific Levi, got exactly what their job was. Carry this, do this. That's the B'Shemos Tifkadu, and how Aaron Avanav Tifkadu. It wasn't generally the whole Gershuni and Merari. It was very specific. Every Levi got their job, and that's Ladoros. Okay, then we have the biggest parshas here is Sota and Nazir. So Isaac's Parsha Sota gets mentioned here, specifically the carbon of the Sota. So the carbon of the Sota is not a regular carbon. All other carbonos are Ritzoi Ta Hashem. This is a Minchas Knaos. It's like a vengeful Mincha. So it's not Ba L'chapara. It's the opposite. I mean, I don't know about the opposite. It's whatever. It's going to have this lady killed. So it's not Ba L'chapara, so it's its own thing. And it's also after the Mishkan is put together and we're, you know, everything is ready to go. So we want to, you know, Klal Yisrael now needs to keep their high level. We had, you know, Bamidbar, everybody counted, the Erevavs whittled out, we have the Mishkan, everything's ready to go. And now, okay, so you want to keep Yichuseim, so then we have the Sota. So that there'll be no shash of a husband on his wife, we have the Sota. Okay, then we also have the Nazir now, because also part of the Beis HaMikdash, the Nazir was the, I think there was a Tzedek, whatever. The Nazir is the one who separates himself from Olam Hazeh, and he's supposed to be in the like these are supposed to be the, not just that you don't cut your hair, you're supposed to, if you're a Nazir, you must be a holy person, you're hanging out in the Mishkan all the time, you're supposed to be like someone who's extra holy and only doing Avodas Hashem, you know, you disconnect yourself from Olam Hazeh, connect yourself to Hashem only. That's the concept of the Nazir. He leaves him Olam Hazeh, the time is Olam Hazeh, and he's connected to Olam Abba. So of course he's going to be at the Mishkan all day davening. So that's what this has also gotten to. Once we're done with the Mishkan, so you have the Nazir also. Okay, so again, back to the Nazir, the Torah refers to her, this carbon as a Minchas Knaos. Who? Now, if the Pashup Shat and the Psukim is, who brings that Minchas Knaos? It sounds like it's her. It says, Karbana. Be specific, it's the Pasuk Tezbav. Vehevia ish es ish toalak oen, vehevia ish karbana aleha hasira seifa kemach saorim. So, right, it sounds like it's her carbon. The Rabban says, no, it's his carbon. It's a carbon he brings for her. That's the minchas kenosu. It's to be masker her avera, and that it'll work and blow her up. But he brings the carbon for her. And the reason this mincha is barley instead of wheat, Ramban says, Saorim is that should be Saras Hashem Chema against her, the anger of God against her, and it's brought in a Klicheres because that's a Shimon that it should break, you know, and it's Ofer, and shall go back to the earth and die. That's that idea. And then it says in Pasuk Yerches of Yad HaKohen Yuyu, Mei Hamarim HaMe'arim, the bitter water that is Me'arim. So what does that mean, Me'arim? Are they bitter now, or are they not bitter now? So the Ramban thinks, Al Pi Pshat, it's not bitter, it gets bitter. That is, she drinks it, it tastes fine. But then if she did the sin, it'll become curse-worthy or bitter and horrible. It doesn't start off with, so it's the Mei Marim, not Mei Marim Hamarim, it's Mei Hamayim Hamarim. Like it says later on, Ovo Va Hamayim Hamarim Lemarim. The Mayim Hamarim become bitter. So he says, Pasha Pshat it is, it started off fine. It's water that causes curses. Whatever started off tasting fine, it becomes bitter later. But he brings from the Gemara. The Gemara says that they actually made it bitter. The Kohen would put something bitter in the water just to give her a sense of that this is a bitter thing and it can cause her to blow up. But Ramban thinks Pasha Pshat in the Psukim is that it later becomes bitter. Okay. Now the Ramban points out that you don't find any mitzvah in the Torah that is completely open miracle like this one, where like it's a regular practice, if this happens, do this, and you're waiting for an open miracle to happen. We don't have that except for this. And he says it's only when Klal Yisrael al pirov, means most of Klal Yisrael, is doing Ritzono Shel Makom, is Artzadikim, and it's a special nace to keep the holiness of Klal Yisrael. Not only does most of Klal Yisrael need to be tzaddikim or whatever, on the right path and not sinning with this avera, but this person himself, according to many, had to have never done a be'ila of Isser. The husband I'm talking about had to never have done a be'ila of Isser his entire life, ever. According to, maybe his kids couldn't have even done a be'ilas Isser. Like, you have to be on the appropriate level. If a person had any connection to this avera themselves, it's not going to work on their wife. And even if the person's a tzaddik, if Klal Yisrael as a whole is rampant in the sever, it's not going to work. It's only when Klal Yisrael's tzaddikim, they're not nichshal in the sever, they don't violate the sever, and the person, the husband himself, never violated the sever with anybody else, then it'll work. Okay, then we have the Nazir. Rabban has this famous comment about the Nazir. When the Nazir finishes in the Ziris, he brings a karban. One of them, part of it is a chatas. So chatas is a sin offering. Ramban asks, what sin did this Nazir do exactly? So the Ramban says that his sin is that he did not continue for the rest of his life being a Nazir. Meaning to say, the person now is, as we described, this holy person who's hanging out at the Beis HaMikdash all day long, totally separated from this world and very holy. And now he wants to go back to regular life. Well, there's an element of chait in that. So, therefore, he has to bring a carbon chatas. And I wonder, it's a famous question that went on Yom Kippur. We stand with a talis and we don't say Baruch Shem Kvod Machus. We say, rather, Baruch Shem Kvod Machus aloud as soon as Yom Kippur starts. And then after Ne'ilah, when we're on this holy level, as soon as we finish Yom Kippur, we say B'Horach HaMichap Arav, and we start Marav, like we're back at that low level. So, I don't know the answer, but, I mean, there's different answers given, but it's just interesting that maybe this is connected with, in other words, what the Ramban just said, when you finish Yom Kippur, and now you're at this holy level, and now Yom Kippur's over, and you're back to go back to eating, and maybe even stuffing your face. So you go back to a lower level, so that is a chait. And then you start off with Vahu Rachem Yechaper Oven, because that in itself has a chait, just going back to regular life from a holy place. Okay, anyway, then we have the gifts of the Nesiim. So the Nesiim start off giving these wagon loads, with cows bringing the wagon loads. So it says that the Nesiei Yisrael brought Shesh Eglos Tzav, six wagons Tzav, get back to Tzav in a second, and 12 cattle leading them. Okay, so what does Tzav mean? So Rashi says that they were covered. That's what Tzav means. The Ramban says no, and this is cool. The Ramban says the karbanos that the Nesiim brought, the whole Karbanot, Karaskezavachas, that whole long thing we're going to read, those were in the wagons. And Tzav means full. So the Nesiim brought six full wagon loads with all their Karbanos that they were going to bring. So I guess there were two Nasiim per wagon, and they brought all their kabanos on the wagon, and then it was time, when each Nasi was time to bring his wagon, he would take time to bring his carbon, he would bring his, take his carbon off the wagon and bring it. So they brought the wagons. I don't know if it's, it was also to be used to carry stuff, but in for here, it was used to bring their carbon, and then it got used later by the Levim. Okay, then we have Rashi telling us, and the Ramban brings, that there was this the stuff that the Nasiim brought. So if you would weigh it individually and then weigh it together, you would come up with the exact same weight. That is to say, it was weighed exactly perfectly. So if you weighed it individually and then you weighed them all together and divided, it'd be exactly correct because everything was weighed exactly perfectly. So the Ramban doesn't know, like, what's the point of that. So he says one possibility is that it meant if you, not that if you weighed them separately, but if you melted them all, like he brings a Chazal, if you melted them all down and they're reformulated, meaning if you weigh them now, or if you melted all down into one, all the kalim down into one thing, and you weighed it, it would be the exact same weight. That is to say that there were no impurities. It was such pure gold and silver that they brought, there were no impurities, such that if you melted it down, where normally impurities come out, it would still have the exact same weight. So that's why it was important. Okay, so either, like the Ramban said, either it was an ace that they were so perfect, the measurements was so perfectly done, which is closer to what Rashi said. That's Rashi saying it was a miracle, but that he says either that's a point that it was miraculous, that it was so perfectly measured, or that it was so clean of impurities that that's why it measured the same amount. But the Ramban suggests a different pshat. I'm sorry, no, he does not forget. Those are the two pshatim. Different thing. Answering the question, which bothers absolutely 100% of people. Why is it that when the Torah lists the gifts that the Nasiim gave, it didn't just list it once and then say, and everybody else brought the same stuff, right? That's what we all wonder. Why doesn't Torah need to list it every single Nasi? It should have just said, Nasi number one brought this, Nachshon ben Ammi and Nadav brought the following things, and so too, and list the other 10, say, they brought the same thing, instead of listing each one out. What was the point of that? So he says a beautiful answer, and that is, besides the fact that Hashem wanted to not give anyone short shrift, give each one their cover to show that they're all equal to Hashem, it was more than that. It was each one of the Shvatim had their own thinking about what they wanted to bring, and it happened to all be the same, meaning to say that they all brought exactly the same thing, not because they all had the same intention. They all had completely different intentions. It just worked out the same. Now, just to be clear, I don't know if he means that they, I don't know if whether they decide, all of them decided in advance what the size would be or not, but they certainly had different kavanos, to be more accurate. Okay, they all wanted to bring a nadava. I'm not sure that they all decided in advance what nadava to bring, but they certainly all were thinking different things, and that's why it's listed separately. Meaning, Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda, all of his stuff was brought with a kavana of being a remez to things for Malchus. So Yehuda, who comes from Malchus, so his shevet, he had intention when he brought his nadava to be things that are remez to Malchus. So just to bring you some examples, the Ramban quotes, he brought a ka'ara, which is circular, because the world is doma to a circle, and he was going to rule over the world. And he ruled over the earth and the sea, and that's also part of it. And so it was there. Everything was the two kings, Shlomo and Melech HaMashiach, that would rule over the earth and the sea. So they brought Ramazan to the earth and the sea. V'chule. If you look in the Ramban, all the details of how this all was a remez to the thing. The Shivim Shako was connected to the Shivim Umos, they would rule over. Okay, all Malchus type stuff. And then Nesano Ben Tzur from Yisachar, he was thinking Torah stuff because that's his Shevet's thing, Torah. So they brought, and he brings ideas about what each of the things he brought, how it's a remez to Torah and things like that. And Torah is called Lechem, so, and the Lechem Apanim of Karo, so he brought Kara, whatever, things to do with Torah, all Ramazim to Torahs. Vulin had to do with business, So he brought also a car that was similar to the sea, because he would be making business at sea. Okay, the point is each shevet had their own kavana, same exact thing, but their own different kavana. So the Torah had a list, each one separately, because it was a totally different adav. It looked like the same, but it was completely different. Each one had their own kavana, which made it its own special avoda, which really gives this end of the parsha a whole lot of meaning. You know, but otherwise it seems highly not meaningful. Like, we don't understand why the Torah had to repeat it. Now it tells you, like, what you're thinking in your head matters, even if it looks the same. It's very, I think, very meaningful. You know, we all say Shemoneh Esrei 3 times a day, and it sounds like we're all doing the same thing. We are not all doing the same thing. We are all thinking different things, and each one of them is a chashav gift or a connection to Hashem. So I think it becomes, therefore, a very big message that they all get their own space in the Torah, even though it was the exact same thing, because it had to do with what they were thinking, and that makes it its own mitzvah, its own nedava, and that made it special, had to be listed special. Okay, that's it.